Hi, good to see everybody here. Even though our number's down a little bit, we're glad to see everybody. I'm sure you're thinking, okay, where is he going with this one? Let's have a demonstration. All right. What we need to have a demonstration in our lives and collective actions we do each Lord's Day. What we believe on Sunday, we need to demonstrate the rest of the week. Now you know where I'm going with this. All right, demonstration. When we use the words to demonstrate, demonstration, or demonstrator today, it tends to put a sour taste in our mouths. Because normally when someone says we're going to have a demonstration, guess what? The police have to show up because things are going to get out of hand and things can get very dangerous. When we hear these words, especially in recent years, we see in our mind's eye people with long stringy hair, dirty bodies, dirty clothes, carrying signs, using profane language, making vulgar gestures, and in general just disturbing the peace and tranquility of our society and making a nuisance of themselves. Sometimes they do not even know what they are protesting. You realize that? Sometimes you try, some of these reporters get on there, hey, what's the big deal here? Well, I don't know, everybody else throwing rocks, so I'm throwing rocks too. I mean, it's just, they have no idea what they're protesting. See, what would you think or say if I told you that we have come together today to have a demonstration? Well, you'd probably kind of, whoops, okay, where's he going with this? See, Webster says, demonstrate. To point out or to portray, to explain or illustrate, as in teaching by use of example, and then to show or prove publicly. I mean, if I was a salesman and I wanted to sell a product, what would I do? I'd bring it out and demonstrate it for you, right? I mean, that's simple enough to understand. Demonstration. An outward expression or display as of feelings, a manifestation. A public showing and emphasizing of the salient merits, the utility, or the efficiency of an article or a product. In other words, we try and selling something, we not only show you what it does, but a good salesman is going to tell you why you need it. And so that's what's going to happen. And so if he can convince you that you need it, guess what? You're likely to walk out of here having purchased that product. And as we are trying to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're trying to let everybody know that you need this gospel. You need to live by this gospel. And if you want to go to heaven, you better be paying attention. So that's why it's so important as we demonstrate and do a demonstration. And then the demonstrator, well, one who makes the demonstration. In other words, the presenter, the one selling the product, the one trying to get people to see, okay, this is the way it needs to be, and one who that which demonstrates. And maybe you bought a car one time that was called a demonstrator. In other words, I remember years ago, you'd go in and you'd see all these nice, fancy cars, and they'd be really nice, and you'd see the price tags, and whoa, those price tags pretty heavy. And then they say, well, how about this one over here? We've used this as a demonstrator. In other words, they did the test drives, and people come in, and they'd give them rides, and there'd be several hundred miles on the odometer when you picked it up. And so that was used as a demonstrator. And normally when that happens, the dealership knocks off several hundred dollars or $1,000 just because they used it a little bit. And the customer's thinking, wow, great deal. This is practically a brand new car, and I didn't pay full price for it. So that person feels good about it. Now, Paul says in Romans 14:7, for none of us liveth to himself, and none dieth to himself. Whether we live, whether we die, we are the Lord's. But see, every person that lives upon the earth is some kind of demonstrator. They demonstrate something in their lives. They demonstrate something in their behavior. They demonstrate something in their words. what we as Christians have to figure out, what do we demonstrate to the rest of this world? And so we're told that God demonstrated his love toward us in the giving of his son to die on the cross for our sins. And so we read that in Romans 5, 6 through 8. And that's what he did. Christ loved us. Christ died for us. We need to understand that. And then verse 6 says, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God set the example. God made a presentation to let us know, this is what I have done for you. And so he sent his son to die upon the cross in our stead, so that if we were obedient to the gospel, we could be saved. So a demonstration of love, reverence, obedience, and respect. I mean, these are all qualities that we need to be demonstrating all the time. Love for others, reverence for God, obedience to God and his word, and of course respect, not only for God, but respect for each other and respect for ourselves. We need those things. And we would hope that every accountable person here is here for one specific purpose, and that is to demonstrate his or her love and respect for God and his word. Have you ever thought about coming to church for that purpose? I mean, we should. I mean, that's what we're there for. We're here to let everybody know, I believe in God, I respect what God says, and I respect the warnings he has given us, and I love God for what he did for me. And so that's what we're supposed to be doing here, is letting everybody know, this is why we're here. We are demonstrating our love and respect for God and his word when we assemble together. And the idea of fear God is reverential respect. You know, fear God and keep his commandments from Ecclesiastes. That means a reverential respect. In other words, I respect what God says because he is God. And that's why we do it. And then, of course, we know that obedience is the ultimate form of submission. In other words, we're supposed to submit ourselves to God. In other words, do what he tells us to do. And James tells us to demonstrate both in word and deed. Yeah, it's one thing to talk it, but it's another thing to do it. And so he encourages us to do both. We demonstrate love, not only by saying, well, I love you, but also showing it and telling God, I love God. But then what do? If we don't show it? Well, that makes us a liar. So we don't want that to happen. So not only do we say we love God, we actually prove it. We show it to others. So demonstrations in our worship. I mean, very simple to understand. In our Bible study, whether we're teachers or students, we're told to study to show ourselves approved to God. One that doesn't need to be ashamed, but handling aright the word of God. You realize how a lot of people who claim to be Christians never even study. They don't take the time to read. They don't learn lessons. They just ignore God as much as they can until Sunday morning rolls around. Then they walk in. Most of them don't even have a Bible under their arm or in their hands. They walk in, listen to the lesson, and then leave without ever opening the Bible to verify what the preacher's having to say or to learn the lessons that are there. And then they go about thinking, well, they've done their duty to God and they don't have to touch the Bible until next Sunday, if they even do that. I mean, we've got to demonstrate to people, this Bible is important to me. And we've got to let people know that. In our song service, whether you're the leader or just singing along, we're to speak and admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We're to teach one another, Colossians 3:16, teaching each other. Whether we're leading the prayer or listening to the prayer, We need to get involved in the prayer. Pray with the Spirit, pray with the understanding also. 1 Corinthians 14:15. And listen to the prayer. Some people might have a tendency, once the prayer starts, they start thinking about, okay, they start thinking, where are we going to have dinner today? Where are we going to go eat? What are we going to do tomorrow? We've got plans, we've got a meeting coming up, and the prayer goes through, and then all of a sudden, everybody's saying amen. Oh, amen! I mean, that word amen says, as it has been said, so let it be. And if you haven't paid attention to what was in that prayer, how can you say amen to it? Well, you really can't, but people do it all the time. They don't know what the person's praying about. They don't listen to the prayers. Then we partake of the Lord's Supper. Whether you're one of who is the speaking about it, whether you're one of the distributors of it, or you're receiving it, what are we supposed to do? Well, we read that 1 Corinthians 11:23-30 every week. Has it really sunk in what those words are actually saying? The importance we need to place upon the Lord's Supper? I mean, it is so important for us. And yeah, we sometimes treat it as a sacrament. A sacrament is one of those have-tos in religion, a religious observance. And some people say, well, it's a sacrament, you have to do it. Well, we should do it because we want to do it. But why do we do it? To proclaim what the Lord did for us. The Lord died for us. And that's the purpose of this. And if we're thinking about the roast in the oven, if we're thinking about dinner, if we're thinking about the ball game coming up, or anything, we're not focusing on what we need to be focused on. What Jesus did on the cross. He died for us. And then, of course, the giving of our means. We're supposed to give as we have prospered. We know that. And yes, do so with a purpose. And we do this on the first day of the week. And, of course, 2 Corinthians 9:6-11, we read about that. God loves a cheerful giver. And a man who sows sparingly reaps sparingly. A man who gives will receive much back. Now, of course, you put in your money, and you're probably not going to recoup that in the following week. If you do, well, it's a blessing from God. But that's not the purpose of doing that. The purpose of our collection is to assist us continuing in this place, paying the utilities, paying for the taxes, and paying for the right to be here. And so that's what we do, and of course, taking care of the work of the church, as we're supposed to be doing. And then when the preaching comes along, yes, we need to listen and apply the preaching to our lives. It's one thing for you to say, okay, good sermon, preacher, good sermon. But if you walk out the door and you forget what was preached, I mean, what good's it going to do you? That's why some people take notes. And that's a good practice to be in. And yeah, I'm going to send out an email later on, and everybody's going to get the outline that I present here. And hopefully some of you study that. But a lot of people just say, okay, outline, discard it, and they don't mess with it. No, the preaching is there for a purpose. We're trying to help people get to heaven. And that's the reason the preacher stands up here, or sits up here in this case, and teaches these lessons. Because this is what's going to help us get to heaven. See, all assemblies produce opportunities to demonstrate. Every time we come together, we demonstrate, yes, I have faith. Yes, I am here because I love the Lord. See, some demonstrate more favorably to these assemblies than do others. You know, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. And yes, I mean, we're here for a reason. And that's why we decided to stay coming here. And we had just a short, brief time last year when we weren't able to assemble for various reasons. But we got back as soon as we could. At least some of us did. And whether a person attends the assemblies or not, he is still demonstrating. What is he demonstrating? Well, if you're out there on the golf course, if you're out there at the fishing hole, or you're doing something else rather than being in assembly with the saints, you're demonstrating, I don't care about God. Yeah, I mean, that's what you're saying. I don't care about God. Now, if you're sick, that's another thing. I mean, and we don't ever really get on people for being sick. And some people, they have health issues, we know that. Some people have some difficulties, and we recognize that. But we're talking about people who are able, have the ability, and yet choose not to be here. That's what we usually talk about when we talk about assembling. And so, if you choose, well, church just isn't that important to me. So that's what you demonstrate by your absence. See, if a person attends and takes part in the assemblies, he is demonstrating his love for the Lord and his church. I mean, at least we would think so. Thereby, he expresses publicly his desire that such assemblies are important to him, and he wants such to continue. Those of us who have been going to church most of our life, we want to keep doing this. We don't want to give it up. I mean, this is so vital, so important to us. It has so much deep meaning to us. And we don't want to give that up. I mean, it's special. It's a special time. And of course, we meet with the greatest people on earth. There's no doubt about that. These people are very special. But if a person does not attend regularly, he is still demonstrating his lack of love for the Lord and his church. And thereby, he is saying or demonstrating that he does not care whether such assemblies continue or not. And that's what we get. That's what we perceive from some people. See, everyday life produces many opportunities to demonstrate. And we know that. See, one person may live in such a way as to demonstrate that Christ is living in him. In Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, therefore it's not I who live, but Christ liveth in me. And we demonstrate, as Peter says, 1 Peter 1:13 through 16, we demonstrate through our actions, through our behavior, through our words, and everything about us demonstrates Christ is my Lord. I'm letting the world know that Christ is my Lord. I mean, the president's not my Lord. The governor's not my Lord. The mayor's not my... Christ is my Lord. And we demonstrate that if we are living faithfully to God. Now, we might say we're living faithfully to God, but if we're acting like the world, well, we're not. See, another person may so conduct himself as to demonstrate against Christ and his cause. And yeah, there's plenty of people out there that do that. They can't stand Christ. They hate Christ. They hate the church. And we've been exposed to people like that. And really, they've always been around. There's always been people that way who hate God, who hate Christ, and hate anybody telling them what God says. When we warn people, God says such behavior will cause one to be lost in hell, they don't like that because they want to do that stuff. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. And so Jesus says, there's no middle neutral territory here. You're either with him or you're against him. There's no neutral, well, I don't want to pick on anybody. I'm just going to stay out of it. Let the two warring sides have their way at it, and I'm just going to stay out of it. No, that never works out. You know, the nations that supposedly are neutral nations, we don't want to get in it. You realize in so many times that their citizens suffer because of that in one way or another. Either they're going to get run over and taken over by somebody, or it's going to cost them some money. And so citizens always suffer when they try and be neutral. When people try and be neutral with God, they're going to suffer. Because there is no neutral territory, they will be lost. In all activities of life, could we not say, by their demonstrations, ye shall know them? You know, Matthew 7:16-20, by their fruit ye shall know them. He's talking about false teachers. Yeah, I mean, yeah, they come up here, they're fancy talking, they might speak smooth words, but guess what? It's the result of their teaching. People are going to be lost. And so that's the fruit that we're looking for. Are people becoming more faithful to God, or are they leaving God? I mean, that's what we recognize. See, demonstrations are not only for Christians. We know that. See, people of the world, those that have never obeyed the gospel of Christ, are also demonstrating every day. And some are demonstrating their total lack of morals. No doubt about that. By their speech, by their dress, and their lascivious activities. I mean, by their blasphemous words with respect to that which is high and holy. Speaking downgrading words of God and Christ and the church and Christians and the Bible. I mean, such are demonstrating their disrespect for the laws and rulers of the land. I mean, that's been going on. It's been going on for a while. And even a lot of the rulers of the land are showing their disrespect for the laws of the land. And that's what's so frustrating about it. I mean, we would hope that it wouldn't be that way, but the idiots keep voting them back into office. I mean, everybody says they hate the governor, but guess what? Election time comes around, guess who's going to be voted in there? Okay, no person can demonstrate his disrespect for the law and the lawmakers of the land and still claim to respect God and his rule. I mean, it's not possible, because God told us, observe the laws. And that is, at least up until the point when the law says you can't serve God, we must obey God rather than men. And so, that's what we need to do. And up until the point that the law says thou shalt not, and the law says go ahead and do it, no. We're not going to follow the law and do those things that God is opposed to. Now, the right kind of demonstrations. For any demonstration to be acceptable to God, it must fall within the confines of the authority of God as is revealed in the Bible. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Christ. Colossians 3:17. We must act by authority. And we know the denominational world out there does not act by authority, because they do what they want to do. And they say what they want to say. And that they're demonstrating the fact that we don't care if God said it or not. We're just not going to do it. Or if God didn't say anything about it, we're going to do it anyway, and God better like it. I mean, that seems to be their attitude. And this should be a controlling factor in any good work that a person might do, following the authority of Christ. And yes, there's a lot of things that the individual is allowed to do by the authority of Christ that the church is not to be involved in. The church's mission, the church's work, is to preach the gospel, edify the saints, and yes, in some cases, offer benevolence. But individual Christians can do all of those. And they can even do more. They can contribute to charities and things like that, which the church is not allowed to do so. The church's charitable funds are to go to members of the church. And that is very limited in that respect. Now, so what type of demonstration have you been staging before God and your fellow men? That's a question we need to ask. Have I demonstrated to my family that God is the most important thing in my life? Have I demonstrated to my coworkers that I'm willing to serve God no matter what? Have I demonstrated to my neighbors that, yes, I'm trying to be faithful in the sight of God and follow his Bible? I mean, what type of demonstration have you been staging and letting people know? And all it takes is just one little action just to kind of blow it all out of proportion and blow it all out the water. I mean, you can say, well, I'm trying to please God, and then you start saying some words that the rest of the world uses. You've blown it. Just think of it that way. Do you have a license or a right before God to demonstrate as you are now doing? Do we need a license to tell the world that we love God? Not really, but God gives us that right to say so. I believe God. I believe God in everything that he says. And if he says something is sin, then if I practice that sin, I will be lost. I believe that. And I have concern for those people who disregard the laws of God, because they're going to be lost. And we shouldn't want anybody to be lost. Even if someone mistreats us and abuses us, we should not wish anyone into hell. And we know there's a lot of people heading that way. Jesus said that. But we should not be wishing anybody into the fiery pits of torment. And if we do, then we're no better than they are. See, does the gospel roll off of you as water off a duck's back? In other words, when the gospel's preached, do you just kind of let it slide and not pay attention to it? Or do you receive it with all the readiness of mind and search the scriptures to see if these things are so? So if you're subject to the gospel call in any way, you will at this very hour demonstrate either for Christ or against him. Now, that's assuming there would be people here who needed to. We've all obeyed the gospel. And honestly, I believe we are demonstrating our faith in God simply by our appearance here. Simply by being here, by praying to God and doing these things. We are demonstrating our faith and our allegiance to Jesus Christ and our willingness to live for him. So we need to realize we have an opportunity every day to demonstrate. We'll either demonstrate acceptably and favorably before God and man, or we won't. I mean, it's just that simple. We demonstrate every day. And like I say, the world, when they demonstrate, they make a big deal about it. But you think about those out there doing that demonstration. Do you think they're ashamed of what they're demonstrating? I mean, it's just sick what some of these people do. But they're demonstrating, and they're not even ashamed about it. So why would we be ashamed to demonstrate our love for Christ and God? Think about that. That's our lesson. We're going to sing an invitation song. If anyone needs to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.